All right, well, good morning, church. If you haven't guessed it, this morning we're talking about Thanksgiving, about giving thanks. There are situations in which it's really easy for us to give thanks. And then there are situations like what you just saw, where that's the last thing that comes to our mind, is giving thanks. Now, this is from a movie called The Hill, and it's a true story. And Dennis Quaid plays a pastor, and his son, I don't know if you saw it there in the clip, but his son has leg braces on. He has a spine problem, and he ends up going to grow up and becoming a Major League Baseball player, and he plays for 4 years. That's what the movie's kind of about. They get a family comes by and picks him up after this incident, and they just lost their house. They're on the road. They don't have a job. They were in a position where everything was seemingly going against them, and yet from this situation here where he runs out of gas and then the tire, poosh, this explodes, and then it starts raining, and you would think everything is just being dumped on top of them. That's when everything was just starting to work. That's when the family stops by and gives them a ride and gives them a house and gives them a job. And they end up having a lot to be thankful for. It was actually the grandma there in the video who looks at what's going on, and they're thinking, oh no, it's rain and it's a storm and the car's broken down. And she's like, this is the work of a master. This is God's handiwork. So it's Thanksgiving and we have a lot to be thankful for, but we're having a Thanksgiving in a mad world, as my graphic says, right? So are you looking forward to Thanksgiving? It's just a holiday. It's another holiday. I call it the forgotten holiday because most of the time when you go into a store right after Halloween, they put up the Christmas stuff and you kind of forget about Thanksgiving. But as far as Thanksgiving meals are concerned, I'm not a huge fan of Thanksgiving meals. But I am a fan of pie. So I always have something to be thankful for on Thanksgiving. It's not the mashed potatoes and the green beans, but it is the pie. And maybe you like a Thanksgiving meal. Maybe your family, as Irma Bombeck says, you're a family where gravy is considered a beverage. I'm not. But I am thankful for pie. That's why I enjoy Thanksgiving. And that reminds me of a joke. And I've told this joke before. It's one of my favorites. So if you've heard this, you know, bear with me. But there's a family. They live way out in the country, and in this family, there's a little girl, and this little girl was excited because her father had come to her and told her that they were bringing two guests over for Thanksgiving. And so she's like, all right, this is great. Two guests, two visitors. I'm going to be the perfect little host, right? So she dresses up, and she gets ready, and she's helping her mom, and she's going to be this perfect host for this Thanksgiving meal where they have these two visitors coming. So they have the turkey and they have the meal, and the little girl goes with her mother into the kitchen after the turkey's done, and she's helping her get the dessert, right? So the mom cuts up the pumpkin pie and she puts it into little pieces, and the little girl proudly brings in the very first piece of pumpkin pie and takes it over to her father, and he puts it in front of her father. She says, here you are, Dad, the first piece of pumpkin pie. And the dad very politely takes it and passes it on to one of the strangers. The girl's a little miffed. Dad, I brought that out for you. So she doesn't do anything about it, but she goes back in. She gets the next piece of pumpkin pie. And again, very proudly, she comes back out and she walks over to her dad and goes, Dad, here's your piece of pumpkin pie. And she gives it to him. And the dad, again, very politely, takes the pie and passes it on to one of the strangers. Well, at that point, the little girl's had enough of this, right? So she blurts out to her dad. She goes, it's no use, Dad. The pieces are all the same size. And I love that joke because that could happen at my house. It's a personal one. I love it. So we're talking about Thanksgiving, and we're talking about giving thanks in a mad world. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. This is what it says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which guards or surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this message, and I pray, Lord, that your words be spoken. I pray, Lord, that you draw us closer to you and that you encourage us and lift us up. And you remind us of why we have always to give thanks. Above all things, we should be giving thanks. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the world likes, no matter what the situation is outside, we should always be giving thanks. So I thank you for this, Lord, and I pray that you just continue to work this out so that we can encourage others with these things. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it starts out, Paul writes that you should rejoice in the Lord always. And the problem with that verse is it says always. That's the problem with that verse, because giving thanks and rejoicing, if you studied it biblically, almost every time when you go through the Bible, you'll find from the patriarchs, right, through the apostles, that they're giving thanks in the midst of hardships, in the midst of trials, in the midst of terrible circumstances. They're giving thanks. And it says, right, rejoice in the Lord always. Or if it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That verse also has a problem. The problem is it says, give thanks in all circumstances, and we're good in some, but not in all. And then it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, which means you are to be giving thanks in all circumstances if you are to be doing the will of God. And that's where we stumble, because it doesn't say some, it doesn't say when you want to, it doesn't say when it's right easy for you, it just says in all circumstances. And if we're honest, we understand that it is difficult to give thanks in all circumstances. It's seriously difficult. We tend to give thanks when things are going well, when things work out for our good, when we get through the week without any major calamities striking the house, right? When the cars don't break down and run out of gas and then the tire explodes, right? When the bills are paid, when the fridge is stocked, right? When the heater's working, when the kids haven't flooded the bathroom this week, right? We have a bathroom closed here at the Grange. Someone left a present for us. When we came in, that, you know, when those things don't happen, it's easier for us to give thanks, right? Well, we've made it through a whole week and the kids aren't fighting each other and we're like, woo, right? Thank you, Lord. We're running around the house. Woo, thank you. You're my rock. But then the next week comes. Let me tell you about my week. Last couple of weeks, I'm at home. It was a Thursday. I opened up the sink just to put something in the garbage, and I realized I have standing water underneath the kitchen sink. So I'm like, well, that's odd. Got a problem, right? So I pull everything out from underneath the sink, and I start investigating, trying to find where the water's coming from, and I don't see any water leaking from any of the pipes, and I realize water's leaking from underneath my garbage disposal. My garbage disposal was broken, and it was leaking out through the power cord on the bottom of my garbage disposal. In the midst of inspecting that issue, my cold water line underneath the same sink just snaps off at the connector valve. And all of a sudden, while I'm inspecting the garbage disposal, now I'm being hit in the face with a stream of water, right? And I'm trying to pull up the valve and stop the water. And I get it stopped. And I replace the garbage disposal on my own. I'm very proud of that. And with the help of Martin, we fixed the water line and got that all taken care of. And then what happens? My dishwasher quits working. And now I have a dead dishwasher. And we're learning how to wash dishes by hand. That's how my week's been. Are you giving thanks in those situations? Because you should be. Right? Are you thanking the Lord then? I can honestly say it's not my first thought. It's not the first thing I think of, right, when I'm getting hit in the face with water. So I'm not thinking about thanking the Lord. Matter of fact, what you might think is, I'm being punished for something, right? Did we tithe this month? I don't remember. Now, that's what usually comes through your head. Because it's easier for us to be grateful, to be thankful, obviously, when things are going as we planned them. When it's smooth sailing and the seas are calm. But so then when we look at passages like Ephesians 5, 19 through 20, that says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we start looking into the Greek then, and we start looking and saying, well, does that word for always mean always? Or depending on the context and whether it's being used in the present tense or not, is there a possibility that always means, well, not in every situation, or at least not until you've had a minimum of about 3 cups of coffee? I mean, what's the qualifications, right? We start looking for all the little things when we're going through the verse. But here's the challenge for you and for us. From Genesis to Revelation, God's word is filled with people giving thanks from, like I said, from the patriarchs to the apostles and all in between. And guess what? When Paul wrote that verse in Ephesians, for example, he was in jail. And when Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, that we just read here in Philippians, he was in jail. Right? That doesn't sound like the best of days. That doesn't sound like everything going his way. He was in the midst of adversity. Not only that, but in Acts chapter 27, when Paul is in the midst of a raging storm on a ship that's about to be shipwrecked, what is he doing? He's giving thanks. Matter of fact, he leads the whole crew in giving thanks. If David can be on the run for his life from Saul, hiding in the cave, and then in Psalm 57 writes, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. If Jonah can be swallowed by a whale, or whatever big fish it was, because he didn't want to take the good news to Nineveh, because he knew what kind of people they were, and he didn't want to go there. If he can jump off a ship and be swallowed by a fish, and in the midst of the belly of that whale, he can say, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And he'd be saved. Then we can learn from those examples. Right? We can see that they were thankful, and not just that, but they could rejoice, and they could rejoice always. And why? Because they understood something that we need to understand, if we don't understand it already, which is that giving thanks has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our situation. It has nothing to do with where we find ourselves right now, or what our finances look like, or who is president or who isn't president. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with current events. Giving thanks has nothing to do with anything that's going on around us right now in the world, but has everything to do with who we give thanks to. I mean, the whole idea of giving thanks requires that you are thankful to someone. You can't be thankful to no one. And who are we thankful to? We're thankful to God. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Are you receiving everything that God has given you with thanksgiving? When we receive what is given to us by God, no matter what it is, when we receive it with a grateful heart towards God, it is then good. And we can rejoice. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. We are richer for it because in and out of season, for better or for worse, when things go your way and when things don't go your way, when you give thanks to God, you are richer for it because this is your worship. You're worshiping the Lord. And you will always be richer for worshiping the Lord. Spurgeon says this, this is reason enough for giving him thanks. Goodness is his essence and nature, and therefore he is always to be praised, whether we are receiving anything from him or not. Those who only praise God because he does them good should rise to a higher note and give thanks to him because he is good. God is good. So give thanks. David writes in Psalm 118, and David wrote a lot of psalms, by the way, that have to do with giving thanks. The phrase, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever, or similar phrases like that, are throughout the entire Psalms. But that's what he writes, right? Over and over again, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. We need to develop that attitude of gratitude, as it's called, right? Always and forever to Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Psalms 86:12 says, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Why? Because his steadfast love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. We give thanks in regardless of our circumstances. We give thanks when we're broken down on the side of the road, when everything seems to be going against us. We give thanks in regardless to our surroundings, right? Even when you have no idea why God is doing what he's doing or exactly what he's doing, or if you don't even know, you can't even see him working, you give thanks. And listen, I understand it's not always to see God working in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of war, in the midst of rumors of war, but God is working. He is. Elizabeth Elliot, back in 1976, in an address to the Urban Missions Conference, she talked about this, right? She said she was watching a shepherd and his dog, and they were herding the sheep and rams up a ramp into a tank of antiseptic, in which they had to be bathed to protect them from parasites. And as soon as they would come out of the tank, the shepherd would then grab the sheep or the ram or whatever it was, and he would fling them back into the tank, and he would hold them under the antiseptic for a few more seconds. And so Elizabeth Elliot asked the shepherd's wife if the sheep understood why. Did the sheep understand what's happening? And she said, no, they haven't got a clue. And Elizabeth Elliot said, well, I've had some experiences in my life that have made me feel very sympathetic to those poor sheep. I couldn't figure out any reason for the treatment I was getting from the shepherd I trusted. And he didn't give a hint of explanation. But yet, it was for her good. It's for our good. We may not understand it, but we should give thanks for it. I know that we can understand that. So like Psalms 42:11 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. When we're going through those times where we don't understand what's going on, we don't understand what's happening to us, we don't understand exactly the situation or what God is doing, we want to see it, just like he was crying out to God on the side of the road, give me a sign! And the tire goes, psh, right? You're like, God, what are you doing? Just trust him. He knows what he's doing. As it tells us in 2 Corinthians, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Right? We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. So therefore, give thanks. Right? Give thanks, because your hope is in God, and you will praise him. Give thanks. It's an organic expression of your faith. You have to praise God when you call out in your pain, and he reminds you of who he is. Give him that opportunity. And he reminds you of who you are in him. It's worship. There's a quote from a gentleman named William Arthur Ward, just a theologian. And he says, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. If you're thankful to the Lord for something, give him thanks. If you realize that what you went through was actually to your benefit, now things are better, and you didn't know it at the time, but now you do, give him thanks. Don't wrap those gifts up and not give them to the Lord. Worship him. We have to be like Job, right? Who lost everything. His crops, his animals, his children, etc. Yet he refused to curse God. And what he did is he cried out to God. He wanted a deeper understanding of what he was going through. He wanted a deeper understanding of God's ways, and God answered him. God responded to him. Okay, you want to know this? Here you go. Right? And he gave Job a sneak peek into the glory of his creation. Job's only answer to God after seeing that, after experiencing that, was this. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically this was Job's answer to God. He says, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful to me which I did not know. I repent in dust and ashes. Right? In our distress, call upon the Lord. He will remind you of who he is and who you are in him. Your only option is going to be to repent and worship God and give thanks for what he's doing. It's going to change your perspective on your current situation. If you want to give thanks in the midst of this mad world in which we live, call out to the Lord. And he'll give you a reason to give thanks. Right? If you can find no other reason to give thanks to the Lord because he's your rescuer and he saved you from sin and death. That's the only reason you need right there. Look at the world that we live in today. And I'm not going to bring up any specific example. You guys know what's going on. Right? But we have riots and, you know, attempted tyranny and deception and lies and division and death. And the birth pains are increasing rapidly. Right? It's going to be an interesting time between now and the inauguration as the current administration is seemingly trying to get us, you know, all into war before they abandon the ship. And it sure seems like the rapture is just around the corner, right? Sure seems like any day now that the Lord's coming for his church. And we sit here anxious and afraid and worried, just like everyone else, when we should be giving thanks. Right here in verse 5, it says, or verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But what's right before that, in verse 5, it says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Right? In the SV, it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why should your gentle spirit, because that's what that means, be known to everyone? Well, it says because the Lord is near or the Lord is at hand. That's why. And you should know that. And so, therefore, what people should see from you is not what they're experiencing, anxiety, fear, but it should be your gentle spirit, your peace, right? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's what they should see. And they should see this through your thanksgiving, through your giving thanks, through your praise, through your worship to God. Right, Henry Allen Ironside from the Moody Church back in 1940s said, we would worry less if we praised more. Right? Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Listen, if the patriarchs and the disciples and the apostles can all give thanks and can give thanks in all things, can rejoice always, so can we. No matter the circumstances, no matter our trials, no matter our stress levels, we can give thanks, for it is good. Right? It says, don't be anxious about anything. Listen, if Corrie Ten Boom can give thanks for the fleas and the lice, you can. Right? You guys know that story? Right? Corrie and her sister Betsy were held in concentration camp where they lived in the barracks that were plagued with lice. Lice was everywhere. In their hair, on their bodies. I'm sure it felt great. I'm sure it was wonderful. Right? And one day, Betsy said to her sister, she said, Corrie, we need to give thanks to God for the lice. And of course, her response is what your and I's response probably would be, which is, you got to be crazy, right? She said, Betsy, you've gone too far this time. I am not going to thank God for lice, right? Like, I don't want to thank God for mosquitoes or whatever little insect annoys you, right? My daughter won't thank God for spiders, right? We have those things. We're like, I'm not giving thanks for that. I hate those things, right? Snakes. I hate snakes, right? But she says, you've gone too far this time. I'm not going to thank God for lice. But Betsy says, but Corrie, God's word, the Bible tells us to give thanks for everything. But she didn't want to give thanks for the lice. But as it turns out, see, Corrie and Betsy were trying to reach the other women in the barracks, share the gospel with them, and they were holding Bible studies with the other women. Well, it turns out that because of the lice, the guards would never come in their barracks because they didn't want to catch any lice or get any lice on them. So therefore, they were able to have these Bible studies and share the gospel, and they were never bothered by the guards because of the lice. Right? As a result, they led many women to the Lord. So yes, give thanks for the lice. Right? Because God even uses lice. So give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. Right? See, Thanksgiving for us is not a once-a-year celebration. It should be a 24/7 celebration. Right? It should be a daily reality that changes our life, that changes our point of view, from looking down at our current situation, looking at what we're in at the moment, stopping us from being like, oh, woe is me, right? And changes our point of view from looking up to looking up, right? Looking up to our Lord and our Savior. And therefore, that makes us rejoice in all things always. Gives thanks in all things. Because nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. Look at Romans 1. I've said many times that we're a nation living in Romans 1 territory. Right? Well, Romans 1:21 gives us a picture of the general attitude of the world towards God at this time. Right? This is the general attitude of a lot of the people out there. Which is, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Right? But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, this is one of the something we should be aware of is that if we're gonna sit here and instead be like grumbling and right, and don't have any gratitude for what the Lord's doing, don't have any thanks for what the Lord's doing, but sit there and stew in our dissatisfaction and being like, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why am I going through this? How dare you treat me like this? What have I done? What that does is that turns us bitter towards God, towards God's word. The world isn't honoring God, and the world's not giving thanks to God, so we are to be the opposite. We should be honoring God and giving thanks to him. It says here that they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So if we aren't thanking God, then our hearts are foolish and our thoughts are futile. There's a lot of things we can give thanks to, but the only thing that we should be given, the only person we should be given thanks to is God. Right? Nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than the true spirit of thankfulness, which comes from the Spirit of God. Right? See, that's what it says later on in Philippians. We just read verses 4 through 7, but later on in Philippians, he goes on to say, I have learned to be content in all things, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Have you learned to be content whatever the circumstances? In times of plenty, in times of little, no matter the circumstances. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, or whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You can. You can be content in all situations, no matter if the situation is you're just getting by, or you have excess in a nice savings account, whether your cupboard is full, or your cupboard has barely a loaf of bread in it. You can learn to get by because God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Your salvation is secure in him. None of the other things matter. None of else of it matters. This is what he's kind of saying when he gets to verse 7. He says, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace. It's a peace that comes from Christ. It's a peace that the world doesn't understand because it makes no sense to the world. But it's a peace for you that allows you to be content in your situations. God's given you this peace. He's given you this gentle spirit. It can be the most crazy, insane world you've ever seen in your entire life, to the fact you don't even switch on the news anymore, which I recommend. Don't switch on the news anymore. Right? And you can be at peace because you know Jesus is coming. You know he's coming for his church. You know that your salvation is secure in him. See, when Jonah cried out to God and gave thanks in the belly of the whale, he found salvation. The whale vomited him out on land. That sounds pretty, right? Jonah must have smelled really good, must have looked really good. Imagine the sight of Jonah when he actually comes to Nineveh and says, I have some good news to share with you. And they're like, woo, buddy. Come back after you've had a shower. But here's something else that I want to bring up, and an important part of our giving thanks. See, an important part of our giving thanks is for the benefit and the encouragement of other people. And that means terrible thought here. You need to be giving thanks audibly so that they understand who you're giving thanks to when you're giving thanks. Giving thanks is for the benefit and the encouragement of other people. And we find this in all of all places. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In the midst of Paul speaking about the use of tongues in the church was a completely different conversation that we're not going to go into this morning. We've talked about it before. But in the midst of that conversation about building up the church, he mentions this. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 16 and 17, he says, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen? He says, you know, how are they going to say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying, referring to speaking in tongues? He says, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. So what's that telling you? Well, first thing it's telling you is that speaking in tongues is about giving thanks to God. It's for the edification and the building up of the church, but it's about giving thanks. Then he's saying, hey, if people don't understand that you're giving thanks to God, then how does that help the other person? How does that build them up? How does that encourage them? They need to be knowing what you're saying. Giving thanks builds up and encourages and edifies other. We see that example when Paul is on the ship in the midst of a storm, right? Everyone thought they were going to die. They thought it was the end. But it was Paul who brought them back from the edge, you could say. And he had them give thanks. And they all survived the shipwreck. It was Paul who encouraged them with the words of God. It was Paul who built them up. He didn't tear them down. He didn't say, yep, you're all going to die. Have a good, I'm going to be saved though, but you guys, woo, right? Hope you make it. No, he brought them together and he had them give thanks to God and he had them basically worship God and they were saved. Giving thanks builds up and encourages and edifies, that's what it means, edifies others when it is done in the presence of others. You're to give thanks to God in the presence of other people so that they see you doing it. How can you give thanks in this situation? I can give thanks in all things because of my faith in Christ Jesus. But I know what you're going through. I know the situations you're in right now. I know the problems that you're having right now. How can you give thanks? You must think God hates you. No, I don't think God hates me. It has nothing to do with that. I give thanks to God regardless of what I'm going through, right? How can you give thanks to God? Trump's president. We hate Trump. No, I can give thanks to God because it has nothing to do with politics. It doesn't have anything to do with who's president. It has to do with who's king and Lord, and that's Jesus, right? But we're going to have war with Russia. They told us, don't fire those missiles and don't let them use those missiles. And we did, right? And they said, if you do that, we're going to react with nuclear weapons. And so now they might react with nuclear weapons. It's World War III. How can you give thanks? I can give thanks. I can give thanks in all things. Because none of this affects my salvation. None of this affects my faith. None of this affects Jesus, who's above and beyond all of this. I can give thanks in all of this. And I can find hope in the midst of all of this. And I can be encouraged about what's going on because of my faith and because of God's word. And you can too. You can give thanks also. So it's edifying and encouraging and builds up other people, specifically other people within the church, other people in the body of Christ, maybe people who are a little weaker in their faith and get tossed around more by the situations they're going through that you aren't being tossed around by, even though you might be going through some of the exact same situations. I don't know anyone who isn't struggling financially right now. And though we all make different amounts of money or whatever it might be, right? It affects us all. But we can all encourage each other in the midst of it, no matter what we're going through, and give thanks. Right? Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2 said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Right? We give thanks because of what we've been given. And what we've been given is eternal life through Jesus. And Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And when it says nothing, that means nothing. Right? So give thanks. Be grateful to what the Lord is doing in your life. It is good to give thanks. Amen?